The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the interior of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these questions. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him, and he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I have several items that I wish to bring to our attention this morning. Tomorrow is a holiday, Labor Day, and we hope that you will have a good day. It's not going to be like other days of feasting. As a matter of fact, behold, today is already noticeable, is the lowest attendance that we've had in years in this church for Mass. I will speak on that in a moment. Tomorrow also, let us take note of Saint Joseph and pray to Saint Joseph the Worker, asking him to obtain for us all that we need in accomplishing that which we have set out to accomplish. Thursday of this week is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Mother. This is a very important feast and a wonderful feast, the birthday of Our Lady. Now, my beloved people, I dare say those who have eyes to see, and those who have ears to hear can hear of the things that are about us. Let us pray ardently for all those who have been afflicted by the terrible storm that has come our way. Remember, we were here last Sunday, and we kind of talked about it, and oh, terrible, terrible. But nobody really was upset or over anxious or whatever. But then, almost like a flash, predicted the unpredictable. And whereas in the past we have been disturbed and worried by terror, but as we look now, the most that these great organized people have ever been able to play with is firecrackers. Yes, they've caused damage. They've caused killings and everything else. But when the hand of God moves, my beloved people, all the earth shakes. And I think seriously that this week the earth shook. And man shook in it. And we could see and have seen ravages, destruction, etc., etc., etc. But the one thing that is above all that we have seen this week are the ravages that have taken place with mankind. Over the past several weeks, we have been trying to enter into the interior life and the interior life is not for everybody. The interior life, to be honest and objective, is for those chosen by Almighty God to have it. They are the ones who can cope with what is now in front of us. My beloved people, and I speak primarily to parents of children, because when we speak of deprivation to children today, they don't know, they don't have the foggiest notion of what you are talking about. And they are going to be the ones, tomorrow's a holiday, they are going to be the first to notice that somehow there's been a retrenchment, and they're not going to understand. The storm was some other place. It did not affect us. Yes, it did. It has affected every man, woman, and child, especially in our own country. And for that matter, I would be willing to say the whole world. Because this is different, not because it happened here in this country, that it makes it so much worse than something that happened elsewhere, not at all. That we in this country who have always had everything on God's earth that we have ever slightly desired, and that everything that we, and we have been guided, and yes, we've been guided and directed by anything and everything that our eyes have fallen upon. Whatever our eyes have looked upon, that we have obtained. Well, I'm afraid that's over. We're going to repair, yes, of course we will repair. But we will never again be exactly what we were last Sunday at this time. And this morning already begins to show it. These people are not, some of them I know are missing because they told me they would be missing. But already the pinch is on. People have called. We cannot come to Mass. We can't afford to come to Mass. We can't come to Mass because we don't have what we need to get us there. And et cetera, et cetera. We're going to go to the stores and we're not going to be able to buy with our eyes. And that we start filling up the shopping cart and then worry about paying for it when we get to the counter and we present a card, a little plastic piece of paper that is inserted and all goes well. Our eyes are going to have to stop this foolishness. Our jobs or whatever, look at the countless people that have been moved about. These people are going to need help. They're going to need jobs. They're going to need money to live with. This is going to affect you and me and everybody. It's not a matter of being terrified by this. It's a matter of saying Almighty God is telling us I've had enough. When we look around and see the numbers of ways that we have absolutely slapped God in the face and have told him, yes, we know that someone's got to change. But if anybody's going to change, God, if you are God, you're the ones going to have to adjust yourself to what we want. This is our world. We have put all the wonderful things in it that you see, God. It's our intelligence that has done all of this. And God says, all right, have it your way. But then with just the brush of a whisker, look what happened. Just the brush of the whisker, our whole way of life has changed. And parents, as I've said to you a moment ago, take your children, sit them down, and tell them what it's about. They won't know exactly what you're talking about, but explain it to them, that we can't have all the clothes we want. We can't go traveling here, there, and everywhere, attending this event and that event and the other event, jump in the car and move and go. That's over. And the children have got to understand this. And they've got to be taught by the parents, both by example and by word. to the table and at least try to know. They can't have all that they want around the house to eat whenever they want to eat, or go to the cupboard and pull out whatever they want, and as much as they want, and to waste as much as they care to. That's over. Our way of life, our cost of living, is going to go straight through the ceiling, and it's going to stay mostly there. I'm not going to say it's going to stay there. I'm not any more of a prophet than you are. But it doesn't take some kind of a college degree to be able to see this. And we are going to have to adjust. And you have to tell yourselves, I have just so much money to spend, and that's when that's done, it's over. I'm not going to move product first and worry about paying it later. I've got to look at money first, available money first, and then look to see how much I can take home with the amount of money that I can allot, that I can budget for this particular day's purchase. And the children have got to understand that. They're going to have to learn how to stay at home and entertain themselves at home and not travel the length and the breadth of the city or the county or the state or the country to go and entertain themselves. And parents are going to have to learn how to do it with patience and resignation and example. It's there, my beloved people. It's here, rather. Of course, you are the ones who hear it. And you're the last ones on earth that need to hear it. Because the ones that need to hear it are, goodness knows where they are. And they're living a life, or they're living lives, as they have architected. Now comes retrenchment. And I'm afraid that the real problem of trouble outside, because that which is that we have seen and been watching these last several days, is bound to be infectious. It's going to spread. And when it does, we will all have to watch. In past days, we have stressed in here the necessity of our home chapels. Again, perhaps we have seen that this is a bit superfluous. But now, it's not. And many people are going to have to miss Mass on Sunday for more reasons than they've had in the past. Now, they simply cannot move to go to Mass on Sunday. And what are they going to do? The home chapel is the best place, the last place there is for such people. You must try to instruct others in this regard. Teach them, show them, you know what I'm talking about. It takes your breath away when you're trying to discuss these things, because you know that it's dreadful. We've always said it's dreadful, but we've never felt it, but we're going to now. And the young folks, and I dare say quite a number of you actually in here today, have never ever known what it is to make a slice of bread go four different ways. We may come to that realization before it's over. Look at the ones who had no slice of bread, no part of a slice of bread, nor a drop of water for how many days. That's suffering. We are all going to have to learn how to do penance. Now there I'm speaking to us. We are going to have to do what we can to guide the angry hand of God. You know, you have been reading, you have been taught, you have been listening. Now we've come to the point where we have to act. And prayer and penance and mortification and humility and all such are the only ingredients left that will please and appease Almighty God. We are a world in trouble. We are a church in trouble. Our church, when we look about and see what has happened to our church, we are flabbergasted. Some of the things that you hear tell of, and some of the things that you see that are taking place in our church are literally unbelievable. And this done by people who one day said it this way, today they're saying it this way. Why? I don't know. We have got to go back to prayer. We've got to stick with prayer. It is a question now, and always the question of, who do you belong to? Are you obedient or disobedient yourselves by doing what you are doing, by going where you are going? We have come to the point where we now have to determine and believe it and live with it and understand it and go on with it. We have to determine that it's come now a time for us to make a decision. A decision between church on the one hand and our holy religion on the other hand. What do we belong to? Unfortunately, our church is telling us things that we cannot really justify with our religion. And we have to say, no, we can't do that. We will not do that. That's tough for us to have to do that, but that's where we are. And Almighty God sees church making all kinds of crazy regulations and changing here and this, that, and the other. And we look bewildered and say, how can this be? But it's there. The young folks are sliding into it and they're saying that it's all right. Don't worry. Don't be old-fashioned. Don't be medieval in your thinking. We are in the modern age, and we have to adjust to what the modern age is telling us to do. Don't be backward. Don't be old-fashioned. And this cry has been out for the many, many years now. Get with it and do what you know is all right. Look at it objectively. All of us are here to save our souls. All of us here will save our souls. All we got to do is just act life and go do as we please. We'll save our souls. Everything's going to be all right. I'm okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. Don't tell us the glass is half empty. That's so wrong for you to tell us that the glass is half empty. Tell us rather that the glass is half full, and we will go home and be happy, live happily ever after, doing what we want to do. And looking at the horrible box that could be used for an instrument of instruction Instead, today, it is the enemy in the house, and our children are looking at it and are learning from it. Parents, look what your children are doing and looking at in the television. I'm not one to say smash the television. There are people that say you should. I'm not saying that. But we must look at television with the eyes of a Christian person, of a person who's trying to save his and her soul and trying to instruct children. Television is a venomous poison that has made sin acceptable. In other words, a life of sin is that which we want. Read today's bulletin again, carefully. These are not masterpieces of anything, of anybody. They're just the poor outpourings of directions and instructions as to what can we do to save our souls? What can we do to have a little bit of peace in our lives? Last week, we had a bulletin. I want you to go back to that bulletin. I've got more congratulations on my sermon of last week than I've ever had before. And they thought that was the best sermon I've ever preached in my life, because I didn't preach. And that made it just wonderful, and everybody loved it. That's good. I don't get my feelings hurt. The thing, read last week's bulletin again carefully. Read this week's bulletin carefully. We are trying to present to you not what to do, but how to do. And I beg you, my beloved people, to do that which God asks of us. Instruct your children. Again, fathers, take your family, bring your family together every evening to the little chapel. You know what to do. It was in your bulletin here about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And fathers, stand up in front of your family and bless them. Give them your blessing, your paternal blessing. You hold the place of Christ in your families. Where on earth else could you possibly think of hearing that remark or that statement? You, fathers, are holding the place of Christ in your families. Bring your families together. Pick up the crucifix. Bless your families. Give them your paternal blessing. And when you're not their mothers, you do it. It's that serious. And I'd like very much, because of this, because we need all the grace we need to live through this, please kneel as we go into a shock, I think. Maybe I'm right. As we're going through a shock that will have repercussions that we know not about, and how far reaching these go, only God knows. The people, we're not here condemning the people that we think have been sinners, that God hit the sin place of the world, and that is where his anger has struck. My beloved people, in spite of everything I've said, every one of you, and every one of us, and every one of anybody, any place else, everybody is responsible for this. Nobody is excused. Nobody. Every one of you and every one of us must pray that Almighty God blesses us, protects us, protects our children. Some of you, I know when I say this, it tears you apart. but it's a matter of looking at it as it is. Some of you can say, I ask, where are your sons and daughters? What are your sons and daughters doing right now on Sunday morning? What is going on with my sons and my daughters? I know how you hurt. And it is for them, too, that we must pray before all others for your sons and daughters and for your children coming up, that they will not be so infected as to fall away and turn their face away from God. My beloved people, it's grim. May Almighty God bless you. Please stay kneeling.